May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our God and our Redeemer. Amen. This gospel passage is a simple little story, but yet so deep and so rich. Jesus was walking along from town to town, as he often did, and a group of 10 lepers cry out to him for help, for mercy, they actually say. Lepers were feared because their disease was so highly communicable, and it marked them as ritually unclean, so they were cast out from society, incapable of participating in normal life, of joining in religious festivals and rituals, and therefore of being religiously faithful. Somehow, though, these folks still knew who Jesus was and that he had the power to heal them. That news even reached way out to their ostracized circle. Or maybe it was the type of news that spread most quickly among people like them, desperate and outcast. Jesus doesn't seem to think twice about healing them, doesn't have some profound conversation with them beforehand, doesn't demand anything of them. It just seems to be what he does at this stage of his ministry. He heals people. He simply commands them to go and show themselves to the priest, who was the only one who could declare them healed and therefore clean and restored to society. But one of the 10 was a Samaritan, a group of people looked down upon as inferior by the Jewish people of the day. He probably wouldn't have gone to the priest in the temple with the others anyway, because he might have been denied entry or even thrown out. He almost certainly wouldn't have been declared clean, because apart from his sickness, he was still from a people group that would have never made him acceptable. He is the only reason this story is even noteworthy, because he returns to the only place he has left to go. He comes back to Jesus. As a Samaritan, his religious practices set him apart, his race set him apart, his status as basically a foreigner in the land set him apart. That is his constant reality. But in this story, it's his gratitude that sets him apart, his faith that makes him memorable, his willingness to worship that makes him special. Jesus, in fact, tells him that his faith is what has made him well. The language here is a bit striking. The others were said to have been made clean, but this one was made truly well. Other translations say that he was made whole, or that his faith has saved him. He wasn't just restored to some former state. He was made into all that he was created to be, a human in the full image of God who could stand and talk to the incarnate Christ face to face. Because of his faith, he was whole, complete, and he came back to express gratitude and even worship because he was truly different, and all he has to hold on to in this new life is Jesus. He doesn't have a hometown or a supportive community. He's on the outside. Having all been made better, those other 9 lepers likely wouldn't even have hung around him anymore. This was the leper made whole who returned in gratitude, even when in so many settings he was made other and outcast. Hear his thankfulness makes him remarkable. The great 20th century theologian Karl Barth said that the basic human response to actually encountering God is gratitude. Not fear and trembling, not guilt and dread, but thanksgiving. gratefulness. To have real faith is to live out a life of faith, and to live faith is to give thanks. Living into a real life of gratitude is to live a life of faith, he often said. Now it would be easy to focus all our attention on the Samaritan and parse out who could relate to him today, who he represents in our society. We could talk today about how any number of people might be in a similar situation to this Samaritan, this person outside the lines. In the never-ending political season, the shunned Samaritan shows up over and over again. We might be able to find this foreigner characterized as a Syrian refugee of whom we should be wary. He could be a young African-American man who simply went out to the store and got shot and killed, whose parents would never hold him close again, but most people won't even remember his name because racism still lies restlessly unexamined beneath a cover of privilege. It could be a woman whose access to women's health care needs might be abridged, or someone threatened with prejudice masked as religious freedom that makes it okay to bully a small percentage of people. I could go on in that sermon, but today I would prefer to focus on what makes the difference between the many who are healed and go on about their day and the one who returns to Jesus, comes back to worship. That's the distinction I'm most interested in. And thinking for a moment on which one are we? Is it because the Samaritan had less to start with and is therefore more grateful and less entitled? Is it that he had a deeper faith than all the others? Is it that he simply had no other place to go? As I thought about that question, I remembered that the Renewal Works spiritual life inventory that many of us just took had a question that asked to what degree each respondent would agree with this statement: I am willing to risk everything that is important in my life for Jesus. When I first read it, I admit it took me aback a bit. It seemed like a question from a much more conservative faith tradition. How often is someone in my position asked to risk everything important to me for Jesus? It's a bit hard to even wrap my mind around. We have a religion that doesn't always ask us to risk a lot. It might ask us to volunteer a lot, but not to risk everything for Jesus and his call on our lives. It might demand from us time, talent, and treasure, but it doesn't often ask our worship, our gratitude, to take a very risky form. Would I risk my own safety to strive for justice and peace among all people by trying to make a difference in parts of this city that are perceived as dangerous? Would I risk my job to protect the dignity of every human being by standing up for a coworker being fired because they were transgender, or advocating change because I felt my employer had clearly racist hiring practices? Would I risk my economic stability to move somewhere I felt God was calling me and my family to make a difference? What would it look like for us to have a faith where we actually risk something to follow Jesus? Not just a little discomfort, but real and actual change. What would it mean to express our gratitude for being made well by offering our whole selves to God's call on our lives? Would it be noticeable if our worship sprung from the place of where we came to Jesus to praise him because we believed there was no other place where we could be made well, could be made whole again? Maybe we are too often the ones who Jesus makes clean, and we keep going about our day. But the story reminds us that the noteworthy one is the one who comes back to Jesus to worship and give thanks, because he will never be the same again. How do we make that our lived reality? This year's stewardship theme is Shining Our Light. It asks us to think what it would mean for our faith to be a shining light, to be noteworthy and memorable, to be active and provocative and illuminating in the world. Our light shines when expressed in true and singular gratitude. It shines in worship befitting one who healed us and made us whole again. It shines when we respond to the life and love Jesus has given us by returning to him our whole selves in the riskiest of endeavors. Stewardship season isn't really about raising money for the church budget. It's about reminding us the cost of following Jesus and focusing us back, calling us back like the one who was changed and couldn't just go on about his day, but had to return to Jesus because he was the only source of life. Stewardship is about gratitude. It's about worshiping God who has made you whole. Stewardship is about asking what you would risk to follow Jesus. This season, ask yourself, how can I make my life a shining light that points the way to the love of Christ? Ask, how can we as a church more clearly shine our light in the community that needs to be illumined by the dream of God? Ask, in a broken world too full of hurting, what would I risk to be made well, to be whole, to be at peace? And then go and do it, because that is remarkable. That gets written into the story of Christ and his ministry. It becomes part of the eternal gospel. That shines a light into a world that desperately needs all the light that we can kindle. Amen.